We still have a lot of Christmas cards to open, Daddy.
I know it, Darcy. With all the rush of the last few days, we haven't had the chance to look at them.
Here's one from New Jersey.
And this one came from Minneapolis.
How about this one? It came all the way from California.
Do people celebrate Christmas in other places in America the same way we do, Daddy?
Well, yes and no, Jimmy.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Well, most people do celebrate Christmas the same way, but scattered throughout America are people who, because of custom or religious belief, celebrate Christmas in many different and beautiful ways.
Would you tell us about some, Dad?
Well, as a matter of fact, Darcy, that's what our Christmas program is all about. Shall we begin? Good evening. This is Dick Bertel, and this is Christmas Eve, 1970. That special night when all the world gives pause to reflect on an event that took place some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. The birth of a child who would change the thinking of mankind forevermore. And yet, it's more than that. It's a time for goodwill among men, when love overpowers every other emotion. When family ties are strengthened, when hearts, grown heavy with the years, learn to sing again. Christmas Eve, toys, tinsel, and tissue paper, baubles, bells, and bubbling faces, excitement, anticipation, pressured preparation, and calm serenity. With me again this year to share this hour with you are my 11-year-old daughter Darcy, my 9-year-old son Jimmy, and my 3-year-old daughter, Susan. And this first portion of our program is brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. You know, we haven't said hello to Susan as yet. Susan, what day is tomorrow?
Christmas.
That's right, Christmas is coming. And that means Santa Claus is going to come. Do you think Santa Claus is going to come to our house?
Come down our roof.
What, you say he comes down the roof? What does he do? Does he land on the roof with his reindeer and sleigh? Well, how does he get into the house?
I open the chimney.
Oh, I open the chimney. Is that the way? And then he comes down the chimney? And then what does he do?
Put all the toys.
He puts all the toys down around the Christmas tree? And what do you want Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas?
A dolly and a jump around.
A dolly and a jump around? Well, I hope Santa Claus can bring all those things to you, Susan.
Now, don't forget, Daddy, you promised to tell us about Christmas customs in other parts of our country.
I haven't forgotten, Darcy, and I've invited someone special to help me. His name is Bill Stockdale, and he lives in Putnam, Connecticut. Jimmy, you must remember Mr. Stockdale.
We saw one of his travel films last year.
Yes, we did. Bill Stockdale travels all over America and the world, making his films and showing them. And during his travels, he has photographed many unusual Christmas customs, which he is going to share with us tonight.
But first, some music, right?
How did you guess?
Merry Christmas!
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking, say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that is filled with toys for the boys and girls again.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head,
'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Right down Santa Claus Lane.
He doesn't care if you're rich or poor,
for he loves you just the same.
Santa knows that we're God's children.
That makes everything right.
Fill your hearts with a Christmas cheer,
'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here
comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Right down Santa Claus Lane.
He'll come around when the chimes ring out, then it's Christmas morn again.
Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light.
Fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Peace on earth will come to all
if we just follow.
Let's give thanks to the Lord above,
'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
'Cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Tonight. Tonight.
Now, are you two ready to do some traveling?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get right underway after this message from Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
We New Englanders are very fortunate to enjoy the original customs which have spread from our area throughout the American land. Whether we ourselves cling to the old-fashioned evergreen Christmas tree trimmed with strung popcorn and cranberries, or decorate our homes with more modern symbolic representations of that old evergreen, it matters not. The spirit of Christmas, whatever our means of expression, raises our hopes, lifts us above the normal cares of everyday living, and brings to our lives the true meaning of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company is pleased to take part this evening in Recollections of Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Buds, and we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas Eve again with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 49 Pearl Street in Hartford.
Daddy, we're still waiting.
All right. Now, let's start off tonight with the Moravian people of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. How did you hear about these people originally, Bill?
Well, I have always known about the Moravians because they are such an interesting group of people. Actually, there are only about 70,000 in the whole United States, and they are mostly centered about two main locations, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But the reason I became interested in the Moravians is because of their ancient history. They represent the oldest Protestant denomination, going back 50 years before the time of Martin Luther. But another unusual thing about the Moravians is the fact that they have an ardent missionary spirit. Ah, but strangely enough, not to convert other Christians to their particular way of thinking. No, from the very first, they have gone almost entirely after the heathen. Now, when our country was first being settled, we know that many people came here to escape religious persecution from abroad. Others, of course, I suppose, came to gain some of the wealth of the New World. And that's where it's all gone. But the Moravians came too, but they came for the sole purpose of converting the Indian. And in the year 1741, a small group of these Moravians huddled together. The date was December 24th, just like it is tonight, Dick. And they sang together this hymn, "Not Jerusalem, but lowly Bethlehem." And it was at that time that they decided to name their little settlement Bethlehem. And so Bethlehem, Pennsylvania has always been the Bethlehem of the New World, the Christmas city. And if you were to go to Bethlehem this very evening or any time during this whole Christmas season, I am sure there is one sight that you would see above all others, appearing in nearly every Moravian window, suspended from nearly every Moravian porch. And that sight would be the Moravian Star. Have you ever seen one of these Moravian stars, Jimmy? You know they have 26 points. Now, you're going to ask me why those 26 points. Well, actually, no special reason. It's just the way they first started to make them over 200 years ago, and the way they have continued this tradition to the present time. But do you know these Moravian stars are so important? You'll find them today in Moravian communities all over the world. In fact, this is the first Christmas decoration that is put up in a Moravian church. It is hung up right in the sanctuary of the church on Advent Sunday, preceding all other Christmas decorations. So it's really something to see, Jimmy, and you would love to travel through Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at this season of the year and see all of those stars hanging on all the different porches. Oh, they're different colors, red, white, cream color, and they're made of parchment. They're all imported from Europe, And I'll bet your father would have fun helping you put them together because, well, they come all nested together in these points. And you place the square base points in one row on the table and the triangular base points in another row. And then the next thing you do, can you guess? You look at the directions. And you know you can put one of these stars together in just a few minutes. I mean hours, days, weeks, months. Well, when you get it together, if you get it together, it makes a very pretty sight, and you can put an electric light bulb inside and illuminate it. It's the most beautiful sight in the world.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Away in a manger, no crib for the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heavens looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the
Well, not only do the Moravians of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania have unusual decorations, they have some beautiful customs as well. Jimmy, come here. Did you ever hear of the word puts?
What does puts mean?
Well, let's let Bill tell us about the word. Bill?
Well, you know, as Connie and I traveled through Bethlehem, we saw these frequent signs bearing the single word puts. Well, of course, I didn't know what it meant. Connie turned to me, she said, what in the world is a putz? Well, neither of us knowing, we decided to follow the signs. And we were led to this large brick church. Out in front of the church, there were buses lined up for three blocks. Buses that read New York, Philadelphia, Washington. Throngs of people going into the church. Well, we decided to follow the crowd. We did. And we learned upon inquiry that the word putz comes from the German, putzen, to decorate. And so from earliest times, Susan, listen now. From earliest times, these putzes were to decorate and to tell the Christmas story. And they used all these tiny little figures to tell the Christmas, not just a manger scene or a creche, as you and I know it, but to tell the whole and complete Christmas story. And not only do they have these putzes in their homes, they have a gigantic putz that fills the whole vestry in the stage of the church. And about Thanksgiving time, they go up into the Poconos Mountains and they gather the fresh green moss and they arrange it on the stage of the church with driftwood to represent trees and these little wooden figures, even running water right there on the stage. And then As we were led into this large room, it was completely dark, filled with people. We heard the Christmas music, and they have a commentary running along with the show. The show lasts about 20 minutes, and it describes the whole Christmas story. And as we were led in there, we heard the sound of a voice, and we heard a voice saying, "Behold, in days of old, when men's hearts were failing with fear, a prophet, the prophet Isaiah." And just at that one word, Isaiah, one single spotlight cuts through the darkness and picks out the tiny little carved figure of Isaiah on the stage with upraised hand delivering the famous prophecy, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall give birth to a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now the story unfolds with all these spotlights going on and off, outlining the different scenes, the Annunciation, the shepherds in the field, the birth of Jesus, even to include the flight down into Egypt, and finally the return from Egypt of Joseph and Mary and Jesus to Jerusalem. Well, it's a most effective presentation. It lasts about 20 minutes, and at the end of that time, all the lights go on and the people come up and examine the puts close to. Well, I was so excited about the puts, having never seen or heard of one before, I came back home to my home in Putnam, Connecticut, and I wrote an article about it for the New York Times. And the next week I spoke at the Hudson New York Woman's Club. And after the program, a woman came up to me. She said, "You know, I know where you got all your information about the puts from that article in the Times last week." But it is a fascinating thing. And honestly, to go down to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at this season of the year, well, it's just about the most thrilling thing in the world to see a real Moravian Christmas.
Well, Daddy, I know where we're going next.
Where is that, Darcy?
To Worcester, Massachusetts, where lots of Swedish people live. Please tell us about them, Mr. Stockdale.
I'm glad you asked about that, Darcy, because you know Worcester, Massachusetts, not only being interesting as a city because it's built on seven hills, just the way Rome is built on seven hills, and Ceuta and Lisbon and Jerusalem, but also because it is a Swedish stronghold. Now, one-third of the population of Worcester is either Swedish or Swedish descent. And so we thought that would be a fitting place to examine a real Swedish Christmas. And I can tell you this, Darcy, there's no more interesting Christmas to be had than to find a Swedish Christmas, because they really believe in keeping up their Christmas traditions. So we went out to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Flodin on Hartford Road. And it was fascinating to go inside. Of course, it's a busy time of year with the cooking and the cleaning, but do you know what Mrs. Flodin was making? Seven different kinds of cookies. And that's traditional. They always make seven different kinds of cookies, and they have interesting names like the little pepper cocker, a pepper cookie. And you know, the tradition is that if you eat this cookie, you'll be good for a whole year. So this would be a good cookie to pass around to everyone, wouldn't it? Well, not only that, but they have an interesting words that they hang up in their house, God Helg. Now, this means happy holidays, for to the Swedish people, it is more than just a celebration of the one day of Christmas. It's a whole period of celebrating, all the way from December 13th, St. Lucia Day, all the way through to the New Year. In fact, St. Lucia Day is interesting because on this morning, the youngest girl in the household arises very early and is dressed up in her white Lucia costume with real electrified candles in her hair. And she takes her tray of sweet things and calls on other Swedish families in the neighborhood. And so you can see that Christmas is not just one day in a Swedish household. It's a whole period of celebrating. And I think you'd like this Swedish custom too, Darcy, the fact that it's on Christmas Eve that they exchange the presents. And then, of course, Christmas Day is a very quiet day. They spend it, just the family together, singing a few hymns perhaps, reading a little scripture. And, oh, I wish you could see the Swedish Christmas tree. Oh, that's really something to see, because, you know, they believe in decorating their Christmas trees. They hang on everything under the sun, cookies and fruit like apples, even little Swedish flags. So it's really a great sight to see.
La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. See the blazing Yule before us. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Strike the harp and join the chorus. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Follow me in merry measure. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Of the wind and weather. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Well, Daddy, what far-off place are we going to visit next?
We're not, Jimmy. We're going to stay right here in Connecticut.
Are there unusual customs or people right here in Connecticut?
Indeed there are, Jimmy. In fact, I'm going to take you now down to Canterbury, Connecticut, for the most interesting group of all, the Finnish people. And they say that they came and settled in this northeastern part of our own state because it was so reminiscent of Finland, the rocky soil and the frequent lakes. It's beautiful land down there in Canterbury, and I'm going to take you to visit a nice Finnish home now, that of Mr. and Mrs. Otto Ruskinen. And if you entered the Ruskinen home, yesterday or today, you'd find Mrs. Ruskinen busy with her cooking. And she'd probably be making a special Finnish coffee cake and all those wonderful Finnish prune tarts. I don't know if you like prunes or not, but the prune tarts are really delicious. But at Christmas time, they don't have turkey, not at all. Instead, they have what they call their Christmas ham. And even this isn't the main delicacy. Their main delicacy is something else called the lippia kalaa. It's a type of codfish that is soaked in lye and water until the fish swells up and becomes puffy white. Then they wash off all the lye carefully with several different washings of water and soak it in clean water for days on end. And then they cook it and serve it with cold boiled potatoes and a white sauce. And it's really delicious, they tell me. But that's their main treat. Then they have a fruit soup, and they have lingonberry relish, for the lingonberry is to the Finnish people just what the cranberry is here to us New Englanders. And so the Finnish people, however, before their Christmas celebration, they have the Finnish bath. In every Finnish home, either in the basement or an outside building, they have this Finnish bath or sauna, and they put the wood in the stove and take you inside. Why, if you were to visit a Finnish family at Christmas time, that's the first thing they would invite you to do, is to take a Finnish bath. First of all the men together, then all the women together. So my advice to you, Jimmy, is to stay away from a Finnish home at Christmas time. Because unless you're accustomed to these Finnish baths, they got me to take one, you know. I thought I was going to die. The temperature rises higher and higher, and they had a thermometer on the wall, but it came from Finland, and it read in centigrade degrees, so I couldn't tell how hot it was. But they beat their body with branches to stimulate circulation, and then to end it all, you go jump in an ice-cold lake.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone astray is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. Two-faced, unafraid, the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. And build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kitties knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling, we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way, just walking, talking, hand in hand in a crazy winter wonderland.
And now, once again, here is Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
Let us hope that the spirit of this season remains with us throughout the year, not only touching those we love here at home, but also extending to people and nations throughout the world. A very Merry Christmas to you all from the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
This first portion of our Christmas Eve program has been brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Our special guest tonight is well-known motion picture photographer and lecturer Bill Stockdale of Putnam, Connecticut. And we're learning about Christmas customs in other parts of America. I want to remind our listeners that they're tuned to WTIC in Hartford. The next portion of tonight's program is brought to you with the good wishes of the Hartford Insurance Group. Well, you know, we haven't heard from Susan since the beginning of tonight's program. Susan, have you been a good girl this year?
Mm-hmm.
And have you written Santa Claus a letter?
Uh-huh.
And what have you said in your letter?
Santa Claus come right down my chimney.
You just want to make sure that Santa Claus comes right down the chimney, is that right?
Right.
Well, what have you got in your hand there? I can hear it rattling. What is that?
A card.
A card. And who is it from? Who is the card from?
Santa Claus.
Can you sing a song for me now? Santa Claus is coming to town.
I can't hear the song now.
You can't sing that song?
I can hear that.
Oh, you have to hear it.
Why, guess who's coming? You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Daddy, we better get back to our guest, Mr. Stockdale.
You're right, Darcy. Now let's see, Bill. We were in Connecticut last time. Now, I know there are a group of Syrians not too far from us in Willimantic, Connecticut. And they have some unusual customs.
They really do, Dick, and I'm glad you happen to mention them because they have some special Christmas cooking that is unlike anything else that you will find any of these other groups making. For example, Mrs. Haddad over in Willimantic took me into her kitchen. In fact, I have the films right here, and I'll just roll them off for you so you can see her at work. For until you've seen Mrs. Haddad bake the sambusic, you haven't lived. Now, she takes this special dough. You can see it here. The dough that she presses into this mold, and then she decorates it. This mold she brought with her from Syria. Then she taps it on a block of wood, and out it comes. And there you have the filling with chopped nuts or chopped dates. It's a very rich pastry. It bakes for 15 minutes in an oven at 375 degrees. I notice you're writing this all down. I know you're going to try it soon as I leave. And it's really delicious. But, of course, when she takes it out of the oven, the sambusic has one more step. And that is, she sprinkles confectioner's sugar over the top, and it's really delicious. And that is a Christmas delicacy. Ah, but there's another one that's even better. And this is the baklava. And she makes this at Christmas time with a special dough that she rolls out so thin. Look at her, covering the whole table and the chairs, everything in the kitchen. And now she's cutting it up into these rectangular shapes, and she's putting it in her pan, layer after layer. And you can see that she's putting melted butter in between each layer. 15 or 20 layers in the bottom of that pan. And she uses over a pound of butter just in the making of this one dish. And then comes the filling, chopped nuts with orange blossom water flavoring imported from Syria at $12 a bottle. Then on top, 15 to 20 more layers with more melted butter and in between each layer. And now it's going into the oven. But before she puts in the oven, you see her cutting it into diamond shapes. Now, there it is, going into the oven, Dick. Do you see it? And now it's coming out 45 minutes later. Oh, but there's one more step yet.
She makes
a thick syrup of sugar and water and orange blossom water flavoring. And you can see her pouring this thick syrup all over the top of the baklava, or baklava, they pronounce it both ways, and now it will be ready for serving. And there it is, Dick, 50,000 calories.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can play. And presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me
this summer on our vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering, do they celebrate Christmas?
Yes, they do, and they celebrate it like it's never been celebrated before, because they really figure they practically own Christmas down there, having the most ancient tradition in the colonies. Do you know, Dick, that the first Christmas tree erected in the colonies was set up down there in Williamsburg, and consequently they make a big thing of Christmas. It's quite a contrast to places with the old Puritan heritage, like here in New England, for example, up at the old Sturbridge Village, where there is very little celebration of Christmas at all. Thanksgiving is the big celebration up there with a Puritan background. But down in Williamsburg, they set up the first Christmas tree, and of course in those days they just had the candles with the white lights. And so consequently, they still keep up that very same tradition today in Williamsburg. That's one thing you will never see in Williamsburg at Christmas time, is one single colored light. For they keep up the tradition of just the white lights, and on this one special day in Williamsburg when they light a white electric candle in every single window. And then, of course, another tradition they have at Williamsburg is the fact that they always had fresh fruit on the table during that whole holiday season. And you'll see the hostesses and their old farthingales. Oh, this is a wonderful place to visit. I'm sure that you enjoyed your visit there because it is a real old place that has kept up the tradition, and yet people live there even today. Now, the Christmas tree at Williamsburg is also distinctive because this is done entirely in white lights also. And then there are other aspects of the Christmas celebration in Williamsburg that are intriguing. For example, the firing of the muskets and the firing of the guns. But I think that the way the Christmas celebration ends in Williamsburg is one of the most intriguing of all, especially to someone from New England, and that is they end it with fireworks. But the last skyrocket that they send up is always and traditionally pure white. And so you can go from, well, the capital of our country in Washington to the capital of colonial Virginia, which was Williamsburg, and you'll have a great contrast. And really, I don't think there is any finer place to spend Christmas or the holiday season, because it is a whole period again down there of celebrating, than Williamsburg, Virginia.
Daddy, this time we're going all the way up to Maine and the Shaker Village.
How does Darcy know that, Daddy?
Well, I gave her a map before the show, Jim.
How do the Shakers celebrate Christmas, Mr. Stockdale?
Well, I visited the Shakers last Christmas, and I took some pictures up there. And they have more or less a traditional Christmas. They go out into their own, well, it's sort of like our New England Christmas, too, in a sense that they go out into their own extensive lands and cut their own tree. They cut a fir tree, and they bring it in, they set it up, and they exchange presents among themselves. And it, again, is a very religious type of Christmas that they spend. Not the materialistic type at all, and they have special religious services on Christmas Day because, of course, this is a most interesting group of people. Going back to the days when Mother Ann Lee first came from Manchester, England, about 1775, and she came here to escape persecution abroad and to establish a new religious colony up in Watervliet, New York. And the unusual part about the Shakers was the fact that they didn't believe in getting married. They led celibate lives, And consequently, the only way they could increase their numbers was through the conversion of new members or through the adoption of orphans. And over the years, they have adopted a great many orphans. But as conditions changed and there were fewer orphans to adopt, the numbers of the Shakers have decreased, so that today the Shakers are down to just 19 members. There are 13 of them over in Sabbath Day Lake, Maine, which is about 25 miles north of Portland, and then 6 over in Canterbury, New Hampshire. The only two living colonies of Shakers left in the world are both right here in New England. Yet there was a day back in during the Civil War when there were 19 societies with over 6,000 members, and they stretched all the way out to Cleveland, Ohio, and as far south as Kentucky. But one thing that is unusual about the Shakers, and to go up there at Christmas time, is to see Sister Mildred Barker making her peppermint candy. She makes these wonderful peppermint patties. She has her own recipe, which she guards very zealously. And of course, you can be sure that they're the very highest quality. They have a little store up there that they sell these patties. They won't ship them, you know, by mail, because the quality of the chocolate is so high. Good chocolate is very brittle, and it won't ship well, and the centers will ooze out. And so you have to go up there to buy the things. But I have heard that since I took the pictures of them making the peppermint patties, that they have been forced to discontinue making these peppermint patties because, of course, they're all getting along in years, and making 50 pounds of peppermint patties in a day was really arduous work. So they may make just a few for their own private consumption today, but it's not on the big scale that it was for so many years.
Thank you.
Where are we off to now, Dad?
Well, we're going no farther away than Putnam, Connecticut, Jim. What is Christmas like in the Stockdale home, Bill?
Well, you know, we have been doing a lot of traveling all over the world since I took that walking trip with my wife, Connie, back in 1949. You remember Taj Mahal?
I
took that,
certainly do.
That boxer dog that had to have shoes when his paws became sore. And we did walk across the United States, and that's how I got started in this whole traveling expedition. But of course, traveling to different places like that, we've formed certain likes for unusual foods. And so I think that our Christmas in our home is something that Connie prepares traditionally. We have yak flambé.
Do you
now,
really?
Now, I know that you can get yak at your corner supermarket, but it's not quite the same as if you go to Afghanistan and get the yak there and bring it back, because actually, I think this that you get in cans in your corner market, and of course it's one of the biggest selling items here in New England, I imagine, of any food, that it just isn't the same because it's probably frozen in a can. But yak flambé, you see, that's burning yak. It's an ox, a wild ox, that you go out into Afghanistan, get into the back country, get off the main highways and the super highways, and get onto the back roads and find yourself a good yak. And then you bring him back and flambé the yak meat. And after it's well burning, you know, just throw everything away and sit down to your regular meal. But for hors d'oeuvres, now we have elephant trunk. And actually, the only difficult part of the elephant trunk is the fact that they're rather tough and they have to be sautéed, usually about 27 months. and then are marinated. That softens it up. Marinated about 27 months. And then you sauté the thing and serve it as hors d'oeuvre. So beside the elephant trunk and the yak flambé, I don't know just what we are having for dessert, but I'm sure it'll be something a little bit different, you know, to keep up interest.
I'm sure it will. Bill, Merry Christmas to you and to your family.
Well, thank you, Dick, and the same to you.
Well, Jimmy, Darcy, and Susan, we've come to the end of another Christmas show together. Did you enjoy it?
Sure did.
Well, let's wish everyone a happy holiday season, then. Susan, can you say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
And can you say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and a Happy New Year.
And now, on behalf of the Hartford Insurance Group, this is Dick Bertel wishing the very best of this holiday season to each and every one of you. From our house to your house. Thank you.